It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension horticulturist, will be with us in a few minutes to answer your questions. But we're going to start in the herb garden. And right now, if you're lucky, you may be up to your elbows in fresh herbs from the garden. But how do you preserve those fresh flavors to enjoy after the growing season? Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University, is here to give us some pointers. Hello, Cindy.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here today. And I suppose we could start with how to grow herbs, but today we're going to assume that maybe you've already had some success.
Right. So if you've already had success growing herbs, they're probably in full sun and they probably have good, well-drained soils. Then the next thing you think about is harvesting those herbs and cutting back the plants just to harvest those leaves and stems. And with most herb plants, we can cut them back by about half, not more, but about half that you can actually harvest that top portion, and then think about how you're going to preserve it.
How do you know when they're ready to be harvested?
Generally, the best time to harvest most herbs is right before they flower, or in my case, I kind of remove the flowers. I prevent them from flowering so that they kind of constantly produce new foliage. The taste of some herbs changes once they start to flower. The volatile oil concentration kind of shifts, so some of them become a little bitter. So right before they flower or right when they start to flower, you start to notice flower buds, that's the time to say, okay, I need to go out there and harvest, cut these back, harvest those herbs, remove those flowers, and preserve what I've just harvested.
All right, so you have to watch these plants pretty closely to know when they're going to flower. I have learned the hard way that if you grow cilantro and you take your eyes off it for a minute, it's gone to seed.
Well, you have to know something a little bit about your herbs, too. Some things like cilantro are really fast, so they're done in 12 weeks, 10 or 12 weeks. Whereas, rosemary is more of a woody plant and it may only flower, for a couple of weeks, every other year. So it all kind of, you have to know a little something about your plants and you have to pay attention.
When you plant herbs, do you try to stagger plantings at all so that you have kind of a longer harvest season?
For some of the annual herbs like parsley and cilantro, I will stagger some plantings. Cilantro is so important in salsa, so if you want to have two or three harvests, then you usually need two or three plantings. So one in regular time in May, maybe even another one now, so that you can have a harvest again in about a month, because they're pretty quick. Other herbs like thyme or sage are perennial herbs. So you plant them in the garden, and then you can just harvest on them throughout the growing season because they're there and they will continue.
All right. And you said you can cut back by about half with most of these herb plants. Is there anything in particular that you need to think about when you're making those cuts to keep the plant thriving?
Yeah, ideally you're going to cut just above a node. So you're going to leave the nodes or foliage with the plant. And then what that does is by pruning them, you're going to force it to branch and produce more stems so that you have more to harvest even later. With some of the perennial herbs, you can maybe get one or two harvests off of them. With the annual herbs like basil, which is pretty fast growing, you might get three or even four harvests.
When you do harvest them, do you do anything special to keep them fresh in the interim period before you've either used them or preserved them?
Right. Well, with some herbs, if you want to use them fresh and you want to use them in the next day or two, you can just strip some of the lower leaves and put them in a vase, just like cut flowers, and they'll last for a couple of days. In a vase, maybe even on your counter. If it's cilantro or parsley, I might wash them and then wrap them in a paper towel and put them in my refrigerator if I'm going to use them the next day or two. Otherwise, like I said, you've got to think about processing these pretty quickly because generally they're not going to last more than a week in a vase or a week in your refrigerator.
All right. And of course, we all have heard stories or experienced it ourselves of people making so much pesto in the summertime because they're trying to use up all of that basil that they've grown.
Right.
What are some of the other ways that we can preserve herbs?
Well, probably the easiest way to preserve herbs is by air drying them. So when you harvest them, tie them up into little bundles of 4 or 5, maybe 6 stems together, and then just hang them upside down in kind of a dark, well-ventilated, warm location. I've got a sunroom. You may have a garage, one of those places that stay warm, that the air moves through pretty quickly. In about a week, maybe 2 weeks, those leaves and stems are dried, so then you can actually pull those down and actually crush the leaves and put them into spice jars, and so you've just acted a little bit like tones, and now you have crushed basil leaves or thyme leaves or rosemary in jars that you can use throughout the winter.
Why does it need to be a darker location? You said a dark space.
Yeah, generally you want to keep it away from direct sunlight. It helps retain some of the color in the foliage. It depends a little bit on the herb that you're drying. Basil will turn kind of gray, whether it's in light or dark. But rosemary, thyme, some of those other ones, they'll kind of keep some of that green color if they're not in that bright, direct light.
Are there other ways that you can preserve other than drying the herbs?
Sure. So you can oven dry as well if you're not willing to wait 2 weeks. I've even had friends who say they microwave these leaves.
Really?
As a way. Yeah, and I never get this one to work.
That it's actually worked?
it's hard because they microwave them in between paper towels, and you have to do it in short bursts, and you have to be really careful because you will fry it or char it really quickly. So I've never been successful, but it's something to try. And I freeze herbs a lot, so like the pesto, or I freeze basil all the time. I crush it up in the food processor and then just pour it into ice cube trays so that I can pop that basil into soups or stews or whatever. And I do the same thing sometimes with parsley as well.
Really? Parsley then, that way?
Yeah, it's not bad. So if you want to add some, parsley to tomato soup in the winter, that's a nice herb that isn't too strong. You can have a parsley thyme mix if you wanted.
All right. And so when you puree the herbs, they're mm-hmm. they're fresh. They've still got plenty of moisture in them, so they get pretty soggy, I guess.
Yes. Sometimes you have to add a little water, or some people will add a little oil.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 And then it's just like pouring it into. I have a dedicated ice cube tray just for the herbs, so because it really messes up the ice cube tray. But yeah, it's a great thing to kind of pop into soups and stews later on.
All right. And any other preservation tips that we should be thinking about?
Sure. You can also use herbs for vinegars or oils. These don't last quite as long, but, you can infuse olive oil with rosemary, just if you have a small one, and make it kind of decorative. So think about other ways that you can use herbs as well. Some people will actually put herb flowers in ice cube trays with water so that they can put it into drinks. So think about, a borage flower or a lavender flower in your lemonade and how cool that would be, too. Very fancy, very Martha Stewart. So you can have fun with herbs, and you should have fun with herbs.
And I know that you also like to grow some herbs inside to extend mm-hmm. that growing season. So when the growing season is coming to an end, what are some of the herbs that do well in your window?
Right. So I always grow rosemary in a container so that I can bring that inside because I like rosemary a lot. I generally also have basil, maybe chives or cilantro that I grow in containers too. Just make sure you put them in a sunny window. You can even start them fresh from seed, say in August or September, so that you can have them repeatedly throughout the winter.
And your rosemary in a container, does that can you take that from season to season? Can you bring it in the winter
yeah.
and back out again in the spring?
Absolutely. If you're good, you can do that. And I've done that for 2 or 3 years. Rosemary is a little more of a temperamental herb, so sometimes if it gets too wet, it dies. If it gets too dry, it dies. So I usually have 1 or 2 rosemary that I try and do this every couple of years, and I think I've gotten 2 or 3 years out of it before they die, and then I have to start over again.
Yeah, that's impressive. What were you going to add about the basil, chives, and cilantro before I interrupted you?
Oh, sometimes growing basil, chives, or cilantro indoors where they're not getting quite as much sun, the taste isn't quite as strong, and they might be a little bit more leggy than when they were growing outside, but it still can't compete. That fresher flavor with foods that you're cooking in the winter is a wonderful treat.
Absolutely. So that's great if you're making a pizza or a flatbread mm-hmm. or something where you just really want that fresh herb look, mm-hmm. flavor, and texture. But then, of course, you have your ice cube trays full of your other herbs. And once you've frozen those, do you pop them into a freezer bag altogether?
Yeah, you can pop them into a freezer bag because they're going to stay pretty much in that tray, that cube shape. And then you can just pop them out and put them into whatever you want to cook.
Any herbs that you warn against in the garden that just kind of take off and go crazy?
You know mint well. Mint is the one herb that I love, and I also have in containers, but I will plant it in the garden in a container so that it doesn't go everywhere. And I have learned this one through experience. It will run into your neighbor's yard, and it's kind of upsetting.
All around. Okay, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University, is here. Richard Giron's going to join us in just a moment, and we would love to hear from you with your questions. You can call 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Horticulture Day from Talk of Iowa. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and you are welcome to join the conversation with your questions. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me today, Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University, and Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. Hello, Richard. I should put you on the air before I say hello to you. Hello, Richard. That was my fault. You're there, Richard?
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Hello?
Hello!
I'm so, here, really.
Yes, I knew you were. Lovely, lovely to hear your voice. So, Richard, we have talked a lot about moisture over the last several weeks. I was planting a little free library this week and digging. I was surprised at how dry the soil was here in the Iowa City area, where we've had more rain than many parts of the state. What are moisture conditions looking like?
Well, I think it's the worst conditions are west of 35, Interstate 35. As you go west, Story, Boone, Carroll, Greene, Dallas County, Guthrie County, Audubon County. So as you go west from Interstate 35, especially west central Iowa, it's been fairly dry the last 3 months. So the forecast is encouraging as far as maybe rain on Sunday evening. That would be great.
All right. Fingers crossed. And of course, that'll help bring some cooler temperatures as well, which everybody is looking forward to. Let's jump right into some phone calls. 866-780-9100. Sally is on the line in Marshalltown. Hi, Sally.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thanks for calling. And you actually have some tips for us, right?
Well, yeah, a little bit. I'm so excited you were talking about herbs today. Because herbs are the plants that turned my formerly black thumb into a green thumb.
Oh, wow.
They're really generally easy to grow. But there are a couple of temperamental ones, and you were talking about rosemary. And another one that's a little bit temperamental is bay tree. But it's they're really fun to grow if you can keep them going. But I have a rosemary tree I bought at, like, Whole Foods at Christmas time 1 year. And this is its eighth or ninth year. You can't let them get too wet or too dry. And I keep it in a pot, and I put it out in the summer, and I bring it in the winter, and I put Christmas lights on it.
Nice. Very nice.
So it's wonderful. And I also wanted to share a couple of less common herbs that a lot of people don't know about that are really, really wonderful, both to grow and to eat. One is lovage, and I didn't hear you mention it today, but I got on a little late. And it makes the best vinegar. Cindy was talking about making vinegars, and it makes a lovely, lovely vinegar. And then marjoram. A lot of people don't grow marjoram, but I like it even better than thyme. And so I would just encourage people to try some of these lesser known herbs.
Yeah. Well, Sally, thank you so much for calling. It sounds like you are having a lot of fun in your herb garden and a lot of success as well. You can give us a call with your questions, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Joe is up next in Fredericksburg. Hi, Joe.
Good morning. I have some red leaf barberry plants that I trimmed and then mulched back in the spring like we usually do. There was a bit of extra space, and so we put in a couple of Weigelia plants. The barberry took off and leafed out really nicely till about a week ago, and then since then they've dropped almost all their leaves and look like they're all dying. So I'm wondering what the problem is.
Richard?
Well, that might be a wilt-type disease where suddenly you will see individual stems where the leaves on those stems will kind of dry up and basically die. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the entire branch then is dying, while other branches typically are perfectly fine. So it could be something like verticillium wilt. And if it is, the only thing you can do is to prune those out as best you can. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, I would disinfect the pruning shears after each cut, just to make sure you're not moving it around. Mm-hmm. You could use a bleach solution or something of that nature. But that's basically all you can do.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks a lot for your call, Joe. 866-780-9100 is the number. Next up, we'll go to Barbara in Des Moines. Hi, Barbara.
Hi. I have a lilac bush, a very old lilac bush, that suddenly has taken a turn for the worse. It has dropped most of its leaves all of a sudden, it seemed. They're turning brown, and most of them now are on the ground. I've checked the ends of some of the stems, and there is green, a little bit of green on the ends, so I've never had in this house for.
All right. You're breaking up a little bit, Barbara, but stay on the line. Cindy, what do you think?
Maybe a couple of things going on. There are some foliar diseases for lilacs. Powdery mildew is one that kind of comes to mind that might be a problem, and that can cause some leaf drop. It could also be weather-related in the fact that, it's pretty dry right now, and it was, fairly moist earlier on. As long as the stems are still green, then I think it's going to be okay. If it's these are newly planted lilacs or they've only been planted for a couple of years, I might say to water them a little bit this time of the year, especially as it's getting hot, and just kind of wait and see. As long as the stems are good, then that means it's going to continue to leaf out and probably do well or do better maybe next year.
Okay, so maybe water it and cross your fingers for next year is the takeaway.
You may have to. Yeah.
All right.
If there's any other kind of, besides just kind of the yellowing or the browning, any other kind of incidence of maybe a disease that they see, a foliar disease like powdery mildew, to kind of look at the leaves closely so that you can see if there's something else that maybe has some indication of what this might be.
All right, and if it's powdery mildew, what can she do?
Not much. That usually means that it's getting a little less light than maybe what it would need. That means maybe more light would help. Lilacs are susceptible to powdery mildew, and generally it doesn't kill the plant. So it's just kind of cleaning up the area. There are preventative fungicides, but it's a preventative that you have to constantly do, and most home gardeners don't spend the time or the effort doing this because the lilac will be fine.
All right. Barbara, thank you so much for your call. Here's an email question from Margaret. She says, I have a four-year-old hops plant. The second year, it produced a moderate amount of flowers. The third year, zero flowers. And this year, no sign of flowers. Again, the plant looks pretty healthy, although a little yellowing of the leaves. Any thoughts? Richard?
Boy, I'm not sure. You would expect more over time as the plant becomes more mature. So if it's growing well, nice green foliage, growing vigorously, I'm not sure.
All right.
I don't know.
A frustrating mystery there. Let's go back to the phones. Bill's on the line in Independence. Hi, Bill.
Good morning.
Hi, what's your question?
Question, red raspberries. I have about 250 feet in rows, 16, 18 inches wide. Every spring, I chop them off about 3.5 foot high, thin them out, mulch between the rows. About done picking them, and I was wondering about whether to trim them back or weed out or thin them out now in hopes of getting some more this fall like I have in the past.
Well, so you have a fall-bearing variety?
I've had them so many years, I can't remember the name of the variety, but I've had years where I have picked them again in the fall, yes.
Okay. Well, regardless, the canes that are basically producing now, when they're done, I would remove them off of the ground. And that will leave the new canes that came up this spring. And if you have a fall-bearing variety, those new canes will produce early this fall. If you have a summer-bearing variety, they won't produce this fall, but they will produce next year. But the canes that are producing now, when they're done, they're going to die anyway. And as soon as they're done bearing, prune those off at the ground, get rid of them, and that leaves more space for the new canes that came up in the spring.
Okay, thank you. I'll try to prune out the old ones and leave the new.
All right.
Right.
Be careful.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for your call, Bill. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Steve is up next in Dubuque. Hi, Steve.
Good morning. How are you doing, Charity?
Good. What's your question?
Well, I have a hydrangea, and it's funny, last year we had probably our most beautiful flowers come out of it. It's maybe 6 years old, and that's the best it ever looked. But now this year, all I have is one pink bud kind of on the backside. I have beautiful green foliage, huge leaves, but no buds. So I was just wondering if there was something I should have done or what might be the case.
Well, all right. Go ahead, Richard.
I would say you must have a big leaf hydrangea.
Mm-hmm.
And with those, they either produce pink or blue flowers, depending on the soil pH. And the thing about the big leaf hydrangeas, they're finicky. They're not as reliable as the panicle hydrangeas, the smooth hydrangeas that have the white flowers. They bloom reliably every year. But the big leaf hydrangeas are finicky. Sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. As far as pruning those, some of those bloom on basically new growth and old growth. And so what I would do in the spring is let the plants leaf out nicely and then just prune out the dead wood, just the dead wood. And so hopefully they'll bloom. They also tend to need to be watered fairly often, especially in dry periods, because they have those big, huge leaves. And so watch them carefully and water them when appropriate. But they tend to be very finicky and not very reliable as far as bloom.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for your call, Steve. And now we've got Linda in Ankeny. Hi, Linda. Hello, Linda. Are you there? Hi, what's your question?
I'm here. Okay. I noticed this year that the maple trees did not have their helicopter seeds. I'm not complaining about it. I really liked it. I'm just curious why.
Cindy, do you want to take a crack at that one?
Sure. Some trees are, they tend to be alternate bearing. We had a lot of maple seeds last year, so there might be some trees that aren't producing as much this year as they have in the past. So that could be part of it. It could be, you know, maybe they got hit by a bit of a frost when they were flowering, so they didn't produce as much seed as well. But don't knock it. So be thankful, because next year they might have an abundance again.
All right. Next year might just be perfect. Here's an email question from Jeff. Is it okay to grow a white pine in a shaded area? Richard?
Well, they're not going to do very well in a shaded area. I would say that when you say shaded, if it's less than 4 hours of sunlight, they're not going to do very well.
All right. Cindy Susan asks, she says, this is my first summer growing tomatoes. I'm wondering, when do I pick them from the vine? They're all green right now.
Yeah, you want to wait until they start to change a little bit in color, ideally. Late in the season, right before frost, you can go out there and pick those, you know, full-size green ones, and they'll ripen indoors. But I would wait until you start to see some color forming, whether it's yellow, red, purple, whatever, on the fruit before I'd actually harvest.
Okay. And should it look like a ripe tomato before you pick it?
Yeah, it can look a little bit more like a ripe. You can still pick it when it's firm, but you want to make sure it looks more like that ripe tomato, like the celebrity or whatever you purchased. Yes.
Right. So be patient.
Yes.
It's exciting. Growing tomatoes. That sounds very exciting.
I know, and it takes forever when you're waiting on tomatoes. So once it sets its flowers or sets the fruit from the flowers, you know, it's 3 weeks or so before it's the right size. And then it's hard to wait, but wait a little bit longer.
All right. Here's a question from Lynn in Iowa City. Richard, when can I transplant or divide my bearded iris?
You could actually do that right now. Anytime in the next, I would say, 3-4 weeks would be fine. I would just dig up the clumps. I would cut back the foliage by 2/3. I would then take a knife and cut the clumps apart. And basically what you're looking for is a complete plant, which has a fan of leaves, a fat rhizome, and then the roots, and then replant.
All right. And here's a question from Steve. This is very similar to the maple tree question. He says, my two established cottonwood trees did not produce seeds or cotton this year. I didn't notice any cotton in the air from neighboring cottonwoods either. Has this been noticed elsewhere, and what might have caused it? Cindy, I think you're going to just say he should count his blessings. Is that
right? Oh, party time for sure.
Be thankful, yes.
Yeah, be thankful, because this is fantastic. Though it is, my son thinks of the cottonwoods as summer snow. So you're going to miss out on a little summer snow, but that's an okay thing.
The cottonwood trees are okay. I loved cottonwood trees when I was a kid, too. They were beautiful. But I do know that not everyone feels the same way. Here's a question from Susan about herbs. She says, if I want to grow herbs over the winter, would it work okay under a grow light? Cindy?
Yeah. Oh, they'll be great. That's a great idea. So the cilantro, the parsley, the chives. Yeah, if you have a grow light, put them in a container and grow them, and they'll grow really well. The more light you give them, the better they're going to grow and the better they're going to taste.
All right. And then Mary has had the same experience that I had with cilantro. She says, what is the best way to grow and harvest cilantro? Mine goes to seed so quickly that I have a hard time harvesting much of anything.
Right. So usually that's the one you want to stagger the planting. It likes cooler weather because it sets seed when it starts to get hot. So have a couple of plantings in the spring so that you're harvesting fairly quickly, usually within a month of the seed kind of germinating. And then maybe you take a little bit of the summertime off and start again in the fall.
All right. And Mark has this tip. He says the best way to dry basil is over a wire in the basement near the dehumidifier. Mm-hmm. It will smell like
great, fresh.
Heat drives off the volatile oils, the aroma and flavor. Can you also dry basil in one of those food dehydrator things?
Yeah, you can. And I've done that before as well. It doesn't take quite as long as any other fruits because it's not quite as wet. But yeah, it's great. And once again, wonderful smells.
All right. We are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. With me today, Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University, and Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. You can join the conversation. Call us 866-780-9100. Tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. With me, Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, and Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at ISU. They're here to answer your questions. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And here's a question from Twitter. Annie is wondering, what recommendations do you have for treating mealybugs on a gardenia, and then how can I rehab it once the bugs are gone? Richard?
That is difficult. You know, one possible option would be, if it's heavily infested, toss it. That may seem abrupt, but they're very hard to control. The other option would be to maybe take a cotton swab and some alcohol and very, very carefully go over the plant and basically touch each one with that cotton swab. And then come back in a few days and do the same thing. Do it repeatedly over several weeks. So they're very, very hard to control.
Yeah. So, yeah, that sounds as much fun as doing a jigsaw puzzle, maybe. You can think of it that way.
That's why tossing it may be a pretty good option.
All right, Annie, good luck with that. Let's get to the phones. Karen is on the line in Algona. Hi, Karen.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
Hello. My question is, I just moved here, and there's a big plant outside on my driveway, and some people have called it a smoke plant, and I don't know if that is the name or not, but it's very, very tall. It's gotten to be about 12 feet high, and it's wider, and so how do I prune it, or should I prune it?
Cindy, you want to take that one?
Sure. It's probably a smoke bush or smoke tree, and
right.
Those can be... Yeah, so they can be pruned. Does it have purple leaves or green leaves? Do you know?
Green
leaves.
Green.
Okay, so it's probably a smoke tree, and they call it that because after it flowers, it produces this really fuzzy type of seed head that looks like it's smoking. And this particular one probably has some pretty nice fall color for you. So I would wait to prune it back if you want to prune it back, and you can do that in late winter or early spring. I wouldn't take back more than a quarter at this particular time, but you might think about taking, generally this is often multi-stem kind of a habit. Is this one a multi-stem one or just a single trunk?
No, multi-stem.
Okay, so you can take, if you want to kind of control the height a little bit, you might want to take out one or two of those stems at the ground level and then do a little tip pruning of the rest of it to kind of make it a little bushier and maybe a little more compact. But I would wait to do this until March, ideally, because you want to see that fall color. And then that often encourages a smoke bush or smoke tree to kind of rejuvenate and produce new growth, new flowers, and smoke again, too. It's a fun one to have.
Thank you very much.
Yeah thanks a lot for your call, Karen. And next up, let's go to Jana in Muscatine. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
I just have a question about a very old honeysuckle plant. I think it's at my dad's house, and my grandparents probably planted it years ago. But it still blooms. It's on a trellis, but it doesn't bloom like, you know, a younger honeysuckle, and it's got really thick vines, and there's not much flowering on those. And so we're just wondering if there's any way to rejuvenate it or to prune it back. We don't want to kill it, but we don't know. Maybe it's better just to start over.
Richard?
I think I'd wait again and maybe do this in March, maybe late March or April. And it's a vine, and I'm assuming multi-stemmed. And
right.
I think what I would do is simply prune out some of those stems, just some, and that should kind of open it up, but also encourage some new growth, some newer vigorous growth. So that's what I would do.
Okay, just some of the bigger stems?
Yeah. Maybe like a third or so. Take them out.
And do you take them out pretty much to the ground?
They could be taken off at the ground, or it might be a side branch back to the main branch or main vine.
Okay, great. All right, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number. Joe is up next in Ames. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
Well, I have a North Star cherry tree that I planted 2, maybe 3 years ago. It's probably about, I don't know, about 6 feet tall. And it's been growing well and bearing fruit. This year it put out about probably 500 cherries or so. But then here in the last month, it's been, the leaves been turning yellow, and pretty much all of them are yellow or gone on to sort of dry out as brown. And we kind of wondered about, you know, drought and that sort of stuff. We've been watering it, and I don't know if that helps or not. But it's also got a couple of spots on the trunk that are leaking sap. I noticed one of these was down at the base of it last year, and it's kind of leaking these gobs of sap around there. And then this year it's got one, about a foot or so up from the ground on the trunk. And so my wife and I are kind of wondering what's going on there with that.
Richard, do you want to do that?
It has been dry in the Ames area, and it's a fairly new tree. So I would definitely be watering it about once a week and water it slowly and deeply. They will also get a leaf spot where you'll have these spots on the leaves, the kind of small brown spots. The rest of the leaf may turn yellow and fall off. So it could be that, too, if you're seeing the brown spots. But if the foliage is mainly just a uniform yellow, I would think it may be a water issue. And I would keep on watering once a week as long as it stays dry. The trunk issues, you can't do anything about. They will do that whenever they have some type of minor injury. They will kind of produce that glob of sap. So you can't really do anything about it. Just make sure that you don't cause any additional damage as far as a lawnmower or anything of that type.
We've got a cage around to keep the deer from getting up next to it and rubbing their antlers on it and so forth. There's a couple of other cherry trees right there in the same area. One's a English Morello and the other is Montmorency. And they had a little bit of yellow on the leaves, but now that's kind of gone away, and they look pretty good otherwise. They don't have any issues like this. So we wondered, is it possible to overwater that tree? I mean, we give it a couple of gallons of water every day, I suppose. Is that something we should quit doing?
Well, I think what I would do is put on a lot more when you do it. Two gallons is not a whole lot of water. So I would think if you're using like a 5-gallon bucket, maybe go out and maybe give it 15, 20 gallons at a time.
Okay.
Do it slowly and go all the way around the tree. Maybe go out from the trunk maybe 5, 6 feet out and water that area, and then wait a few days, and then come back and do it again. 2 gallons a day is not a whole lot.
Okay. Okay, well, we'll give that a try.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Joe. And let's go back to some email questions here as well. Cindy, I'm not sure if you're going to know the answer to this one, but let's give it a try. Anne-Marie says, I used to preserve basil pesto in ice cube trays, but then I was warned and read for myself that freezing pesto posed a significant food safety issue. I just Googled it, and I find conflicting information. One, that it's safe to keep frozen for a year, or two, preserving oil and garlic is a botulism risk. Which is it? Cindy, do you know about that? Is that something you're familiar with?
Yeah, I think my frozen basil,
I'm only keeping for a year, and then I'm putting it in cooked foods when I'm using it. And there is a risk in sometimes in using different herbs in oils or vinegars because you don't want to keep them very long. So usually it's only a couple of months, so you want to use them fairly quickly. So that could be, even though you kind of cleaned the herb really well before you put it in there, sometimes you even remove the herb that you've infused, and then you still use that oil, like olive oil, fairly quickly because it's not been cooked. So,
right.
Yeah, so it could be kind of a food safety issue if it's kept for a long time.
Okay, but freezing it seems to not have the same risk as just putting something in oil, doing an infusion, keeping that even in the refrigerator.
Right, right. But technically, you should talk to a food specialist, a food safety specialist, so that we could have an expert maybe answer that question. But yeah, I think the freezing it and then using it in cooking, you're pretty safe. But oils and vinegars, be a little hesitant on how quickly you need to use those because they don't last quite as long.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. Glenn is on the line in Fairfield. Hi, Glenn.
Hi. Is there any way to thwart vine borers in summer squash?
Richard?
Oh, boy.
Well, there is. One is they typically start showing up in June.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is the females lay their eggs on the vine near the base, near the ground. And then that egg will hatch and then bore its way into the stem. And so you can use an insecticide, and you basically direct it toward the base of that vine because that's where they're going to be. And you have to do it periodically, but you can do that and prevent them from actually getting into the stem.
Mm-hmm.
If they get into the stem, sometimes you can take a knife. If you catch early enough, make a little slit, take them out. Mm-hmm. Actually do it that way. But prevention would be the best way of doing it.
Now, we looked it up on the Internet, and there were a bunch of suggestions. One was to wrap the stem early with aluminum foil. We tried that, and it worked somewhat, but they somehow got around that. I was wondering, can you, like, smear the stem with Vaseline or, you know, Tanglefoot, that sticky stuff? Or, would that keep them out, or would they just go through that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, Glenn. Well, it's a...
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I mean, it is a tough one.
A great, best crop of zucchini we've had in a long time, so I'm not too unhappy, but they eventually get the plants. And,
yeah.
Then the other question was blackberries. I have a great blackberry patch, and of course, I don't get blackberries very often because of the winters.
Mm-hmm, right.
How do you take care of them? Are you supposed to prune out all the small shoots down to, three, four, five major vines on a plant?
Well, with blackberries, the problem is if we have a cold winter, that will destroy much of the cane. And most blackberries produce on the previous year's growth. So if we have a hard winter, basically much of the cane is destroyed, and then they don't produce anything. But basically what we would do is, we would go out in the spring, basically like early April, and prune out any dead wood. And if some of the wood did survive, that wood should produce later on that summer. When those canes are done producing fruit, then we take those out at the ground and get rid of them. And if it's kind of a sprawling type, what you can do on the new canes when they come up, when they get to be about maybe 44 inches tall, pinch out the growing tip, and that way they'll kind of branch out and they'll have side branches, and potentially they can produce more fruit if they survive the winter in good shape.
All right. Glenn, thanks a lot for thanks so much for your call. Let's go to Carol in Des Moines. A complicated question, Carol. We've got about 3 minutes left, so let's give this a try.
Okay. I want a tall climbing clematis
to overcome a trellis, what would be a big blossomed clematis that would bloom as long as possible?
Cindy?
Oh, yeah, so there are a lot of clematises. There's plenty that have big blooms. Some of them do bloom well in kind of early summer, late spring. What I might suggest is having a couple of different types of clematis. So if you plant one that's kind of a big blooming and then plant like an autumn clematis as well, so you have one that's blooming earlier and then maybe another one that's blooming like the sweet autumn clematis, which blooms in late summer, early fall. So, and clematis, because they're good vines, they actually behave pretty nicely together, so they'll probably do this quite well. So I might think about a couple of different cultivars or a couple of different kinds. So the Jackmanii types are the ones with the biggest blooms. The sweet autumn clematis is the one that blooms later in the season. Smaller blooms, but wonderful fragrance.
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Carol. All right, lightning round of a few questions here from Donald in Solon. Richard, planted sweet corn for the first time this year. It seems to have stopped growing at the point, or at this point, but the ears don't seem to have filled out fully. Should I harvest what I have or give it a little more time?
Wait until the silks are brown and then basically pull it.
All right, no matter what size it is at that point.
Yep.
Rick asks, Cindy, that we had a younger oak tree that suddenly died, and it's 100 feet from an old established oak tree that's still healthy. We feel the young one died of oak wilt because it was so sudden. Is it safe to remove the younger dead tree stump at this time, or shall we wait until winter?
It's probably fine to remove it at this time, especially if it's smaller. I think it'll be okay.
All right. And this question is from Sherry in West Des Moines. Richard, I'm going to have to take down an ash tree that shades my hosta garden. Do you have a recommendation for a replacement tree in the middle of my garden?
I would look at possibly a maple, an oak, or a linden.
Is that going to be a really tricky thing to do, to take down a tree and try to replace it in the same spot?
Well, you can't put it in the same spot. You shouldn't try that. So not the exact same spot, but you can maybe move over 3 feet, 4 feet and plant it.
All right. And that garden's going to take a little bit of a hit, though, because you're not going to have the same kind of shade.
So they're probably going to scorch quite a bit. They can survive that pretty well, but if they get too much sun, they'll scorch. And if that's a problem, you may want to move them next spring.
All right. Richard Geron, thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome.
Richard Geron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. Cindy Haynes, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University. We will be back with Horticulture Day again next Friday. I'm going to be off next week, but Matt Alvarez, one of our producers, will be in the host seat next week answering your questions. Have a great weekend. This is Talk of Iowa on Iowa Public Radio.